This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 8:06, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. 66 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 65 in Carborough, and 67 degrees this morning in Hillsboro. A partly sunny day. Slight chance for showers in the afternoon. Our high today about 80. Chance of rain is 20%. That will continue through tonight with a low about 63. Tomorrow we're looking at cloudy skies, much more so. 60% chance of rain. High tomorrow in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night more of the same with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Friday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms all day. High about 80. Friday night, same thing. And looks like it could be a rainy weekend as well. Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton was the first person of close to 150 people handcuffed in the NAACP's Mega Moral Monday protest in Raleigh. Four other local elected officials would follow that night, and they all say it was worth it to make a stand, though they questioned the legality of their arrests. WCHL's Rachel Nash has the story.
They had no authority to make us leave the building. We had a constitutional right to be there.
That's Mayor Chilton, Chapel Hill Town Council member Donna Bell, and Carborough Alderman Damon Siles. Michelle Johnson and Sammy Slade joined Chilton Monday in Raleigh, along with more than 1,500 other activists. The protest was led by NAACP's state chapter president, Reverend William Barber. He's proclaimed the now almost weekly demonstrations as a wave of civil disobedience. They are targeting what they call the regressive policies of the GOP-led General Assembly on issues ranging from voter ID to health care to education and more. The Chapel Hill and Carborough elected officials decided beforehand they would not be disruptive while inside the General Assembly. They did not carry signs, sing, or clap. Their purpose was to make an appointment with House Speaker Tom Tillis. The group maintains that they were peaceful and complied with the rules except refusing to leave the building when the General Assembly police asked them to exit. They say that under the state constitution of North Carolina, they have the right to redress their grievances with their representatives. Donna Bell says her call to court states she was being held with probable cause. Her court date is set for August 20th. She says the NAACP is working with their lawyers to determine the legality of keeping those who have been arrested inside the state house before from stepping inside again. Bell says if she isn't allowed inside again, she will continue to protest outside.
One of the best things about the protests were the folks standing on the side of the road cheering us on as we went by in the inmate transport buses. And so I plan on being out there cheering on other folks as they make their way to the Wake County Jail.
And though the outcome wasn't what he anticipated, Chilton says he was still happy to be a part of a movement he believes in.
It was very inspiring to see the size of the crowd and to see how many people are so concerned about the future of our state. So that was a very kind of energizing experience to see all that. It was moving to hear from a number of the speakers about how the legislature's recent actions were hurting the working families of North Carolina.
Bell met people from across North Carolina, Charlotte, Wilmington, and Craven County, not just within the Triangle. Alderman member Damon Siles says he didn't view participating in the protest as a risk to his position within the community.
No, I think that actually being an elected official made it more important for us to make a stand.
Chilton says the protesters were from a diverse background, rallying for a range of issues.
I'm very concerned that the legislature is not only gutting our social safety net and our educational system and our environmental safeguards, but that they're also trying to make their changes permanent by changing our system of elections in North Carolina.
Carborough Alderman member and social worker Michelle Johnson says when the state rejected the expansion of the federally funded Medicaid program, that directly impacted some of her clients.
I'm an elected official and a social worker and a woman of color, and many of the bills that are coming out of the legislature affect lots of folks in North Carolina.
The arrest Monday mirrored the combined total of 153 from the four previous NAACP demonstrations dating back to late April. Though some state leaders have taken notice and even attended the protest, the majority seems steadfast. But Barber has vowed that the protest won't stop until they see change. And Chilton, Bell, and Johnson say they won't either. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
North Carolina's Republican governor and a Democratic prosecutor both say they want an end to the weekly demonstrations inside the state legislative building in Raleigh, organized by the NAACP. Governor McCrory says feedback and lawful demonstrations are welcome, but unlawful demonstrations are not. The nuclear reactor at Sharon Harris can be operated safely after a quarter-inch crack in a reactor sensor was repaired. That's a quote today from Sharon Harris. WRAL reports that a Nuclear Regulatory Commission official confirmed the repair on Tuesday. The unexpected shutdown of the nuclear plant just more than 25 miles southeast of Chapel Hill and close to Jordan Lake sparked an ongoing investigation by the NRC. Duke Energy had to take the plant offline May 15th because of the crack. No radioactive material leaked from the plant, and public health and safety was never in danger, according to company officials. Duke Energy spokesperson Valerie Patterson told WCHL following the incident that Duke Power performed the NRC-mandated inspections in 2012 during the plant's scheduled refueling outage. She says the flaw was discovered during a review of ultrasonic data showing a quarter-inch crack in the lid on top of the vessel that holds in superheated water under high pressure. Resident concerns over new animal control rules and a major building project in the Cedar Grove community gave the board pause at last night's meeting of the county commissioners. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Changing Orange County's animal control ordinance on the first reading would have required a unanimous vote by the board. But Commissioner Earl McKee made it clear last night that wasn't going to happen.
I won't be able to support adoption of this because I think the process was wrong in that we are consolidating not only the various documents, we're consolidating new recommendations and regulations within that document.
Half a dozen residents came out to protest the proposed changes, which were intended by county staff to streamline the animal control regulations in use throughout the towns and county. Many said the changes didn't take into account different conditions in the rural and urban areas. Others, including Bob Epting, worried that the rules would scrap the unofficial designation of watchdog in categorizing an animal that might protect property, instead recognizing only trained and registered sentry dogs.
Persons who may roam around inside my fenced backyard without invitation, especially at night, are trespassers and should expect to be chased, barked at, and even bitten if they do not flee.
The board agreed to bring the ordinance back on the 18th for more discussion. Also delayed was a decision to hire a contractor to help redesign the Northern Human Services Center north of Hillsboro. The building has sat vacant since last year, in part because county staffers say it's too expensive to heat and cool, and the septic system is too small to accommodate a wide range of uses. County Manager Frank Clifton suggested an architect could help residents and the board decide how to best repurpose their historic building into a community center.
One of the problems we have technically is as you start to look at those options, you do need to have an architect, an engineer to tell you what will and will not work, what you can and cannot do, and when you start doing a major renovation to older structure, it gets into the issue. What do you have to do to meet today's codes?
Residents of the area, however, protested, saying there needs to be a more formal method for involving the public in the decision process. Here's Jacqueline McConnell Groff of Cedar Grove.
It just feels like we're throwing a lot of money at something without a real plan. And that brings me to the design group. What exactly are they designing? Because I don't really understand what our plan is. What do we see this facility doing as a group and for the North Orange community in particular?
Commissioners will revisit the issue on the 18th at their last business meeting before summer break. In the meantime, the board will take up budget negotiations at a work session on Thursday. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
On Tuesday, the State Court of Appeals reversed a lower court ruling that struck down Chapel Hill's ordinances on regulating towing companies and banning the use of cell phones while driving. And Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith said this is a step towards local governments being able to maintain their authority.
Well, I think the real victory here are the towns and cities across North Carolina that have done a good job at providing reasonable regulations for towing in private lots.
The town adopted the cell phone ban in March of last year, but the ordinance never took effect because George King, operator of George's Towing, challenged the town council. Last August, Superior Court Judge Orlando Hudson issued a sweeping ruling striking down both the towing regulations and cell phone ban.
And it comes in at a time in which our General Assembly, along with this decision that came from the Supreme Court last year, has been really whittling away at the town's ability to provide for its citizens.
The towing ordinance was proposed in response to many complaints about predatory towing in downtown Chapel Hill. Residents and visitors alike complained that in many lots there weren't enough clear signs indicating where it was and was not acceptable to park. And that when they were towed, they were forced to find transportation to a distant lot, nowhere near an ATM. only to find that the operators would only release their cars if they paid in cash.
Whether they should have parked where they parked or not parked, there should be room for reasonable regulations of that practice.
Kleinsmith says the cell phone ban and towing regulations are almost certain to go into effect by June 24th. Court procedure is to issue a mandate 20 days after a ruling in a case, at which point the court's ruling then becomes law. But Mayor Kleinsmith says the council will likely revisit the cell phone ban in the near future, as some members say it's too restrictive. He himself voted against a complete ban, electing for a hands-free option to be allowed while driving. We'll bring you up to date on the Carborough Board of Aldermen coming up next, 8:16, 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. Time now for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Go see Berkeley Grimble. Grimble's, they're there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's, in the Villas Plaza on Elliott Road in Chapel Hill, right next door to Whole Foods. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is Rachel Nash.
Good morning. No accidents to report at this time on NC 54, 15, 501, I-40, or the Durham Freeway. But if you do see something throughout your morning commute or the rest of the day, you can call me in the newsroom at 919-967-8363 and be a WCHL Road Warrior, or you can tweet us at WCHL. But if you do so, we ask that you do it safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Seems looking pretty good this morning.
Looking great.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather, brought to you by Chapel Hill Tire Car Care Center, from major repairs to simple oil changes for imports, domestics, and hybrids, with four convenient locations in Chapel Hill, Carborough, and in Durham, chapelhilltire.com. 68 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, partly sunny, slight chance of showers in the afternoon. Our high today about 80, chance of rain is 20%. As I said, 68 in Chapel Hill, also 68 in Hillsboro, 67 degrees this morning in Carborough. Tonight, partly cloudy, slight chance of showers, low 62. And then tomorrow we'll look at it, a bigger chance of rain, maybe a shower, maybe a thunderstorm. Even in the morning we could get some rain. Our high tomorrow in the upper 70s. Low tomorrow night, upper 60s. On Friday, showers and thunderstorms likely to the tune of 70%. High on Friday about 80. Low Friday night 68. Then on Saturday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, and the high in the middle 80s. 50-50 chance of rain all the way through Saturday night and Sunday. 8:18. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember that we're your station for Carolina. Uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
It is 8:18, 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. Last night was the Carborough Board of Aldermen's turn to provide insight on how they foresee the future of solid waste and recycling here in Orange County. WCHL's Abraham Jaroszewski has the details.
The Carborough Aldermen unanimously passed a motion Tuesday night suggesting the Board of County Commissioners create a tax district to fund recycling in Orange County. Here's Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton.
I think given that our costs are about to spike upward very significantly with the closure of the landfill on this hauling stuff, that it is time to do this now, right now, and that our county commissioners need to move forward with this right now.
In an April email, county staff recommended four options to the county commissioners: the creation of a solid waste management authority similar to OWASA, the implementation of either a full or limited county solid waste tax district to raise funds for services, or simply leaving each town to decide on their own recycling program. The aldermen ultimately decided on the third option, wherein only those in the service area would pay a tax to help fund the program. As far as service in the town of Carborough is concerned, there is little difference between the second or third options, but members of the board agreed that it would be inequitable for county residents not receiving any services to be forced to help fund it. Although the board was generally against the creation of a solid waste management authority, one aspect of that proposal did intrigue the aldermen: the creation of a local transfer station, which was of particular interest to Alderman Randy Haven O'Donnell.
The local transfer station would keep us from having to transfer to another county, which I really disapprove of. I think when we start to take care of our own waste in our own county, we'll be better stewards. I really feel unclean sending my stuff to South Durham.
The board also passed a motion instructing the county to bypass the creation of an authority and to simply look into the possibility of a disposal station in Orange County. The board also agreed to participate in a Town of Chapel Hill study evaluating the viability of a local transfer station. Other discussions revolved around some of the technological innovations the new program could implement, such as an RFID chip in each bin, as explained by Carrboro Public Works Director George Size.
In essence, there's a chip in the cart that then can be read by radio frequency so that when the truck lifts it, it weighs it, and that information, address and so forth, then is sent back to a central location so that you can generate information, billing, and those types of things.
Alderman Sammy Slade also pointed out that other municipalities have used the RFID card to encourage recycling.
What it allows for is there are communities that have used it and instituted creative programs that incentivize people to recycle more by rewarding them by, for example, how much their recycling bin weighs.
But despite the optimism surrounding the various options, Mayor Chilton says that until he sees politicians willing to make tough decisions on the matter, all of these ideas could be for naught.
I've seen us do study after study, probably adding up to hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last 22 years through different levels of local government on looking into these various technologies, these various solutions. All of it was for naught because we didn't have elected officials who were committed to doing it. And I don't know if we ever will.
Chilton specifically mentioned studies on waste-to-energy facilities, as well as potential landfill and transfer station sites as some of the largest expenditures. Abraham Jaroszewski, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Chapel Hill is traditionally known as a basketball town, but the local economy also got a big boost from this weekend's NCAA baseball tournament to the tune of more than $1 million, according to the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau. With guests coming to town from New York, Florida, and Maryland, local tourism officials estimate that each of the 3 days of the tournament generated $400,000 per day in local sales. So that's pretty impressive. This weekend, of course, we have another series. It will be South Carolina fans who will be coming to town, so they may not be coming from as far away, but certainly will provide another big boost for our local economy. 8:22, 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by AT&T Wireless. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz. Tar Heel baseball team is in the NCAA Super Regional after an emotionally draining 12-11 win over Florida Atlantic. It was a 13-inning marathon that saw Carolina come back from 2- and 3-run deficits to keep their season alive. After the game, Coach Scott Forbes says he couldn't be prouder of his players.
It was a team effort. Our guys, top to bottom, what you saw there was guys that worked their tail off, and that's why they were ready, and they found a way.
The pitching coach says he stands by the decision to put Benton Moss in for Ken Emanuel with the bases loaded and two outs. Carolina just one out away from the Super Regional. He's got a lot of flack over that. After the change, Florida Atlantic's Tyler Rockline silenced the crowd with a Grand Slam homer to give Florida Atlantic an 8-6 lead.
I go by the way I feel and what I see. I've been doing this a long time. Both those kids worked their tails off, and you could tell they had good stuff. Kent might have got a little bit tired, might should have got him out a little bit earlier, but bottom line is those guys are here and they want to win. I couldn't be prouder. I guarantee if you ask either one of them, they wouldn't trade it for anything.
Even when the game looked like it might be slipping away, Forbes said the Tar Heels never gave up.
Chris Munley, I heard him, you know, we're not quitting, and he was the first voice up when Benton gave up his home run.
With the victory, UNC has moved to the Super Regional, hosting South Carolina this weekend. The first game of the best-of-three series starts on Friday at 1 o'clock in Boschemer Stadium. And then there will be a game on Saturday at 12 noon, and if necessary for this best-of-three series, another game on Sunday, and first pitch on that one will be thrown at 1 o'clock. Whenever the Tar Heels play, you can hear the weekend action on 97.9 FM WCHL and streaming live on chapelboro.com. Good luck to the Tar Heels. The Super Regional coming up this weekend in Chapel Hill. UNC Track and Field is set for NCAA Outdoor Track and Field National Championships today. The program is represented by 5 Tar Heels. The event runs through this Saturday. Clayton Paris, Leanne Farber, Cameron Overstreet, Tristine Johnson, and Brianna Hudson qualify for the NCAA Championships based on their performances at the NCAA East Preliminary Round, May 23rd through 25th in Greensboro. The top 24 competitors taken from the East and West divisions make up the semifinalists and finalists for the championships. The top 8 performers at the conclusion of each event will earn All-America honors. For information on how you can keep up with the results, you can go to our website at chapelboro.com. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The Chapel Hill Prep Athletics, as well as UNC teams, their cup runneth over. This is our Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Maybe it's in the water in this town of athletic as well as academic prowess. East Chapel Hill High has had its share of state champions in lacrosse, soccer, tennis, and golf. Carrboro has become a small school power well on its way to its second consecutive 2A Wells Fargo Cup. And Chapel Hill just finished fourth in the 3A Wells Cup standings for the third straight year after finishing third in 2010. All this is a product of supportive school programs, athletic directors, and coaches who train and lead outstanding young athletes. Perhaps these schools see UNC as their giant big brother and sister for its overall excellence year after year. The Tar Heels are currently in second place behind Stanford, the perennial winner in the Collegiate Learfield Directors' Cup for overall NCAA athletic accomplishment. UNC's 28-sport program usually has managed to fight it out for second behind Stanford, whose well-funded teams have won the Directors' Cup every year since 1994 when Carolina edged out the Cardinal. Entering the NCAA baseball tournament, the Tar Heels' strong lacrosse seasons put them in fourth place behind Stanford and locked in a tight battle for second with Michigan, Penn State, and Florida. By merely making the baseball big dance and getting 25 cup points, they are in great shape for a second-place finish. Penn State and Florida need to place very high in the NCAA track and field championships to contest Carolina. In the first spring results released last week, Carolina had 991 total points. Penn State had 1,001, Michigan 1,003, and Florida was fifth with 983 points, all trailing Stanford's unreachable total of 1,233. Typically, the Cardinal regain first place in the spring with strong NCAA finishes in women's tennis, women's water polo, women's lacrosse, women's golf, and men's tennis. So the Tar Heels can wrap up second by winning the Super Regional against South Carolina this weekend and reaching their sixth College World Series under Mike Fox. Even eighth place in Omaha will get UNC 73 points. A top four finish nets 83, the runner-up gets 90, and the baseball national champion is awarded 100 Director's Cup points. In Bubba Cunningham's first full year as athletic director, that wouldn't be too shabby. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Whoa! Did you see that catch?
That's awesome, Dad.
Pat yourself on the back, Lisa. You're a good daughter. Hanging out, watching baseball with your dad. Of course, you're also hanging with your friends.
Oh, come on. He was safe.
Kinda, anyway. See, AT&T has this great deal. Buy a Samsung Galaxy S3 for $99.99 and get a Galaxy Tab 2 for $199.99. So now you can kinda watch the game with Dad while you're kinda using your smartphone to text your friends and kinda reading tweets with Twitter and whatnot. And you can kinda use your speedy new tablet to do things like look up baseball stats in a hurry.
A triple play?
Hey, Dad, did you know that there were 3 triple plays last season?
I am so proud of you right now.
AT&T, rethink possible. Visit a store or att.com for details. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Prices include $100 off non-commitment pricing for a limited time, $200 more off the Tab 2 with Galaxy S3 purchase. Pricing effective 2/15/13, subject to change, $200 more off for expires 4/25/13. Each requires new 2-year agreement and qualified voice and data or mobile share plan. Other charges and conditions apply.
Allergies getting to you? Pollen got you pooped? Dogwoods got you down? There's no need to suffer this allergy season. The doctors at UNC Family Medicine can help. Let us put together a personalized plan to keep you from sneezing and wheezing, whether it's spring, summer, or fall. Appointments are easy, and so is the parking. Find out more on the web at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Today is your last chance at a great offer at OurLocalDeal.com from Sal's Pizza. It's half off. $16 of authentic Italian food available until midnight for $8. Sal's offers up delicious fresh Italian fare with a warm and welcoming atmosphere. According to the owner, the lasagna is made the way her mother used to make it, and the eggplant is made the way her grandmother used to make it, so you know it's the real deal. It's half off from Sal's Pizza. It's available until midnight, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Our name is WCHM. Our dial position is 97.9 FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world with instantly live streaming. You can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning. It is 8:30, bottom of the hour. As always, we take a look at the Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, and this time our forecast brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Call ahead and bring Dickie's Family Pack. Select from 8 juicy smoked meats and fresh sides. Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham off Mount Moriah Road. Good morning. It is 68 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Partly sunny. Slight chance of showers this afternoon. High today about 80. 68 degrees in Chapel Hill. 67 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler. Just a 20% chance of rain all the way through tonight. So not bad. Tomorrow, more clouds. 60% chance of rain and a high in the upper 70s. Maybe showers, maybe thunderstorms tomorrow. Tomorrow night, more of the same with a low around 68 degrees. And then on Friday, we're looking at a 70% chance of rain. Showers, thunderstorms, likely. High about 80 degrees. Low Friday night, about 68. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy again with a high in the middle 80s. Looks like it could potentially be a really rainy weekend. Let's hope the rains hold off because of Carolina baseball.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel
news
station.
Update. I'm Dave Barrett. Which big league baseball players got PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs? Tony Bosch, the founder of a Miami area clinic, will tell Major League Baseball a few things. Sports Illustrated senior writer David Epstein.
Previously, in the only interview Bosch had given of late, he said that he had nothing to do with performance-enhancing drugs. You know, he wasn't supplying testosterone or anything like that to Major League Baseball players. And now the reporting is he's reversing course.
ESPN had said roughly 20 players, active and retired, were linked to Bosch's South Florida clinic. Correspondent Terrell Brown.
Baseball has threatened long suspensions for players found guilty, but proving the charges could be difficult. There are reportedly no positive drug tests involved. And the players' union is expected to present a strong challenge to investigators.
Big names linked to alleged drug use. Alex Rodriguez of the Yankees. The Brewers' Brian Braun. This Milwaukee fan unhappy.
He lied. He lied to every Brewer fan that's out here. He lied.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 8:32, 28 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. Fairly nice day, partly sunny today. Slight chance of rain in the afternoon, about a 20% chance. Our high temperature today, about 80. Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton was the very first person of close to 150 people who were handcuffed and arrested in the NAACP's Mega Moral Monday protest. Four other local elected officials would follow that night. And they all say it was worth it to make a stand, though they question the legality of those arrests. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more on the story.
They had no authority to make us leave the building. We had a constitutional right to be there.
That's Mayor Chilton, Chapel Hill Town Council member Donna Bell, and Carborough Alderman Damon Siles, Michelle Johnson, and Sammy Slade joined Chilton Monday in Raleigh, along with more than 1,500 other activists. The protest was led by NAACP's state chapter president, Reverend William Barber. He's proclaimed the now almost weekly demonstrations as a wave of civil disobedience. They are targeting what they call the regressive policies of the GOP-led General Assembly on issues ranging from voter ID to health care to education and more. The Chapel Hill and Carborough elected officials decided beforehand they would not be disruptive while inside the General Assembly. They did not carry signs, sing, or clap. Their purpose was to make an appointment with House Speaker Tom Tillis. The group maintains that they were peaceful and complied with the rules except refusing to leave the building when the General Assembly police asked them to exit. They say that under the state constitution of North Carolina, they have the right to redress their grievances with their representatives. Donna Bell says her call to court states she was being held with probable cause. Her court date is set for August 20th. She says the NAACP is working with their lawyers to determine the legality of keeping those who have been arrested inside the state house before from stepping inside again. Bell says if she isn't allowed inside again, she will continue to protest outside.
One of the best things about the protests were the folks standing on the side of the road cheering us on as we went by in the inmate transport buses. And so I plan on being out there cheering on other folks as they make their way to the Wake County Jail.
And though the outcome wasn't what he anticipated, Chilton says he was still happy to be a part of a movement he believes in.
It was very inspiring to see the size of the crowd and to see how many people are so concerned about the future of our state. So that was a very kind of energizing experience to to see all that. It was moving to hear from a number of the speakers about how the legislature's recent actions were hurting the working families of North Carolina.
Bell met people from across North Carolina, Charlotte, Wilmington, and Craven County, not just within the Triangle. Alderman member Damon Siles says he didn't view participating in the protest as a risk to his position within the community.
No, I think that actually being an elected official made it more important for us to make a stand.
Chilton says the protesters were from a diverse background, rallying for a range of issues.
I'm very concerned that the legislature is not only gutting our social safety net and our educational system and our environmental safeguards, but that they're also trying to make their changes permanent by changing our system of elections in North Carolina.
Carborough Alderman member and social worker Michelle Johnson says when the state rejected the expansion of the federally funded Medicaid program, that directly impacted some of her clients.
I'm an elected official and a social worker and a woman of color, and many of the bills that are coming out of the legislature affect lots of folks in North Carolina.
The arrest Monday mirrored the combined total of 153 from the four previous NAACP demonstrations dating back to late April. Though some state leaders have taken notice and even attended the protest, the majority seems steadfast. But Barbara has vowed that the protest won't stop until they see change. And Shelton, Bell, and Johnson say they won't either. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
North Carolina's Republican governor and a Democratic prosecutor both say they want an end to the weekly demonstrations inside the state legislative building in Raleigh, organized by the NAACP. Governor McCrory says feedback and lawful demonstrations are welcome, but unlawful demonstrations are not welcome. Resident concerns over new animal control rules and a major building project in the Cedar Grove community gave the board pause, no pun intended, at last night's meeting of the Orange County Commissioners. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details on what happened.
Changing Orange County's animal control ordinance on the first reading would have required a unanimous vote by the board, but Commissioner Earl McKee made it clear last night that wasn't going to happen.
I won't be able to support adoption of this, because I think the process was wrong in that we are consolidating not only the various documents, we're consolidating new recommendations and regulations within that document.
Half a dozen residents came out to protest the proposed changes, which were intended by county staff to streamline the animal control regulations in use throughout the towns and county. Many said the changes didn't take into account different conditions in the rural and urban areas. Others, including Bob Epting, worried that the rules would scrap the unofficial designation of watchdog in categorizing an animal that might protect property, instead recognizing only trained and registered sentry dogs.
Persons who may roam around inside my fenced backyard without invitation, especially at night, are trespassers and should expect to be chased, barked at, and even bitten if they do not flee.
The board agreed to bring the ordinance back on the 18th for more discussion. Also delayed was a decision to hire a contractor to help redesign the Northern Human Services Center north of Hillsborough. The building has sat vacant since last year, in part because county staffers say it's too expensive to heat and cool, and the septic system is too small to accommodate a wide range of uses. County Manager Frank Clifton suggested an architect could help residents and the board decide how to best repurpose the historic building into a community center.
One of the problems we have technically is as you start to look at those options, you do need to have an architect, an engineer to tell you what will and will not work, what you can and cannot do, and when you start doing a major renovation to an older structure, it gets into the issue. What do you have to do to meet today's codes?
Residents of the area, however, protested, saying there needs to be a more formal method for involving the public in the decision process. Here's Jacqueline McConnell Groff of Cedar Grove.
It just feels like we're throwing a lot of money at something without a real plan. And that brings me to the design group. What exactly are they designing? Because I don't really understand what our plan is. What do we see this facility doing as a group and for the North Orange community in particular?
Commissioners will revisit the issue on the 18th at their last business meeting before summer break. In the meantime, the board will take up budget negotiations at a work session on Thursday. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
In news around town this morning, Sugarland on Franklin Street is holding a benefit today to raise funds for victims of the tornado that hit Moore, Oklahoma last month. One of the company's employees is from Moore, Oklahoma. Some of her family members lost everything in that tornado. Sugarland will donate 100% of its proceeds from both the Chapel Hill and Raleigh locations to the relief effort. Sugarland will continue to accept donations through the weekend. Sugarland is downtown on East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill and a second location at Cameron Village in Raleigh. And Chapel Hill is traditionally known as a basketball town, but the local economy also got a big boost from this weekend's NCAA baseball tournament to the tune of more than $1 million, according to the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau. With guests coming to town from New York, Florida, and Maryland, local tourism officials estimate that each of the 3 days of the tournament generated $400,000 a day in local sales. Of course, fans will be coming in again this weekend, perhaps not from as far away since South Carolina is our opponent in the Super Regional, but certainly it will provide another big boost for our economy. And by the way, you can hear all the Carolina games right here on WCHL 97.9 FM and streaming live on our website at chapelboro.com. Game time on Friday is 1 o'clock. Game time on Saturday will be 12 noon. And if necessary, the third game will be played on Sunday, also at 1 o'clock. WCHL, good morning. It is 8:41, 19 minutes until 9 o'clock. And a special guest in our studio this morning, Greg Wallacechuk, is here from Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Thanks for coming. And before you get started, let me just tell you that we enjoyed the big spread that you brought by yesterday to the WCHL studios. I could have stayed in there at that table and eaten for a couple of hours, but I didn't. I held myself back.
Excellent. That's good self-control.
Well, I know that you wanted to make sure that everybody here at WCHL had sampled some of what Dickie's Barbecue Pit has to offer. But tell us about your local business, and for the folks who don't know, who may be hiding under a rock, what does Dickie's do?
We serve the best barbecue around. We've won several awards. We've been in the Durham location for a little over 5 years, just celebrated that in April, and all of our meats are smoked fresh on site. We have 8 different meats to choose from, and what's a little bit different, what we do than anybody else, is we don't drown our barbecue in the sauce we like. We give you a choice, and I know you mentioned you like the Carolina vinegar-based sauce that
yes,
we make.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, we bake that all in-house, and we have 3 tomato-based sauces. In addition to just the pork, we have a Texas-style beef brisket that'll just melt in your mouth. St. Louis-style ribs that I'll have to treat you guys to maybe the next time I'm down here.
Absolutely. We'll take it today. It'll be fine.
And chicken, a turkey, and a bunch of other sides.
Yeah. And great sides, too, I might add. And great hush puppies. We've got several compliments on the hush puppies.
Appreciate
right
that.
One of the things that I get excited about getting to know you guys is the fact that you are involved in the local communities. I know that you and your wife run 3 Dickie's locations in Durham, kind of on the Chapel Hill side of Durham,
right.
Also in Cary and Raleigh, and you're involved in those communities, and we're happy to get you involved in our local community as well.
I appreciate that. We have helped a lot of groups raise funds. We've worked with the Pretty in Pink Foundation, the Durham Rescue Mission, the Raleigh Rescue Mission, and a lot of other local groups. We hold fundraisers in our stores. We've done some off-site fundraising, so we definitely try and be as involved with the community as much as possible.
I know that you're a member of the Chapel Hill Cover of Chamber of Commerce, and you try to stay involved in all things Chapel Hill, but we have some very special occasions coming up here. Of course, and we're talking about graduation, high school graduation soon, Father's Day coming up not too long ago. What are you doing for those occasions?
Well, one of the best things is on Sundays, kids always eat free, kids 12 and under. And so take Dad to Dickie's on Sunday. Free ice cream for anybody with any purchase. And also we recommend gift cards.
Fantastic. Well, also you do all the cooking for a dine out. If you want to come by and just pick it up and take it home with you, that's absolutely fine. And you got all your different meats are smoked fresh daily, which means it's of the optimal quality.
Absolutely, and they're very lean, unlike a lot of other places that people have gone to. We still have wood on our lot, so we smoke it every night. You can actually see it come by 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. You'll see us loading the pork and the brisket into the smoker, and we smoke it all night for 12 to 14 hours, so it's really tender. Ribs, we start in the morning, and the ribs will just fall off the bone. You can shake it, the meat ought to fall right off into your mouth.
How do you not weigh 400 pounds?
Self-control.
You're making me hungry.
It's that 98% fat-free turkey that I eat.
Well, you make me hungry just talking about it. But you are on Fordham Boulevard between Chapel Hill and Durham, right near New Hope Commons and in the other shopping center
right
across the street there off Mount Moriah Road.
Right, Mount Moriah Road. The easiest way to think of us is behind where the Verizon location is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, we appreciate your coming in today, and I know you're going to have a really busy Father's Day, graduation, and all the other special occasions that are coming up in the future. And this may be a belated welcome, but welcome to our community. And you are, of course, one of our many fine restaurant advertisers on WCHL.
Appreciate it, Ron. And we'll get some good catering business and help people out with that.
Greg Wallacechuk, Thank you so much, Dickie's Barbecue Pit.
Have a great morning, Ron.
All
thanks.
Right. You too. It is 8:45 at WCHL, 15 minutes until 9 o'clock. And Raleigh Mann has today's commentary. That is up right after this.
Saying Weaver Street Realty is a niche company that welcomes everyone sounds like a contradiction. But for 30 years on Main Street in Carborough, Weaver Street has helped all kinds of clients with all kinds of properties. On the grid or off the grid, the veteran team of brokers is there for you. Farmers, urbanites, artists, immigrants, Weaver Street serves them all. From first homes to downsizing, Weaver Street Realty helps reasonable, smart people make reasonable, smart decisions. Go to WeaverStreetRealty.com to learn more about this niche company.
Allergies getting to you? Pollen got you pooped? Dogwoods got you down? There's no need to suffer this allergy season. The doctors at UNC Family Medicine can help. Let us put together a personalized plan to keep you from sneezing and wheezing, whether it's spring, summer, or fall. Appointments are easy, and so is the parking. Find out more on the web at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Hi, this is Scott Maitland, proprietor of Top of the Hill Restaurant and Brewery. What's the best way to recover from the coldest winter in recent history? By celebrating spring's arrival on our outdoor patio. Our patio has been voted the best outdoor patio in the Triangle too many times to count. And it's the perfect place to toast the arrival of the crocus, wistfully dream of the dog days of summer, or just enjoy the most beautiful sunset view in Chapel Hill. This is Scott Maitland, and I'll see you at Top of the Hill, the social crossroads of Chapel Hill.
Good morning. It's 8:47, 13 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. It's Ron Stutz, and we're going to get your traffic report in just a moment here. But first of all, I just wanted to say Rachel Nash is doing her last traffic report, for now anyway, on the WCHL Morning News.
Moment of silence.
Yeah, really.
But I'll be back sometime.
Well, I'm sure you will.
Rand's got to take another vacation at some point.
Well, Rand has been on his honeymoon, and Rand will be back in here. God willing, and the creek doesn't rise, he will be back in here tomorrow morning.
He better be, because I'll be sleeping in.
Rachel will be able to sleep a little later. So, but anyway, I just wanted to say thanks for the good job that you have done for the last almost a week and a half here. And thank you very much for all your hard work.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it was a real pleasure. And again, I'm sure we will see each other again. I'll be seeing you all day in the around the office here, but... Anyway, thanks for filling in.
No problem.
All right, we'll talk to you. Well, we'll talk to you all day, but we'll also talk to you now and find out what's going on with our morning traffic situation.
The morning traffic situation looks good. There are no accidents to report at this time on NC54, I-40, 15501, or the Durham Freeway. But if you do see something throughout your morning commute, you can call me in the newsroom. I will be there. Tomorrow it'll be Rand, but I will be there today.
All right, fantastic.
You can report any traffic accidents you see.
Yeah. 919-967-8363 is your number to call to reach Rachel, and I'll talk to you later.
Sounds great.
All right, your WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda, South Point, located just a minute off 540 at the 751 exit. It is 69 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Look for a high today of about 80, just a slight chance of a shower in the afternoon. Partly sunny skies, 20% chance of rain tonight with a low in the low 60s. Tomorrow, we're looking at cloudy skies, chance of showers in the morning, then maybe showers and thunderstorms later on in the day. High tomorrow in the upper 70s. Chance of rain is 60%. And we're talking about a pretty strong possibility of some rain for the weekend as well. That does not sound good with Carolina baseball coming up, but we'll just keep our fingers crossed that the rains will hold off. Tar Heels have had enough rain delays and enough of those games that end in the wee hours of the morning. So, anyway, when Carolina's playing, you hear it on 97.9 FM, WCHL, and streaming live on our website, chapelbros.com. Coming up, D.G. Martin, and today's WCHL hometown hero, Chris Moran of the IFC. But next, you're going to hear from Raleigh Mann.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. Have you noticed how many hybrid cars are being driven around Chapel Hill? They're everywhere in our town, and it's not just the familiar Prius. We're driving other hybrid models, too. What's not to love about a car that gets about 50 miles to the gallon and emits fewer pollutants? When hybrid cars were introduced, the federal government offered generous tax incentives to buy and drive them. That ended in 2010, but people continue to buy hybrids and now electric cars for good reason. So now comes our state legislature, proposing next year's budget for our state, and it includes a new tax. If you own an electric car, you'll be socked a $100 annual fee. If you own a hybrid, it's $50. Wait, Republicans hate taxes. Why would they want to create a new one? And for what? For reducing emissions and saving money at the gas pump? Are we being punished for not buying enough gas? The state's budget director is Art Pope, a man who has poured his wealth into campaigns to discredit mainstream science, wind power, and other forms of renewable energy. Does he wield any influence over the legislature? What do you think? A $100 annual fee may seem small in a state budget of $20 billion, but it's a symptom of a larger issue we should all be concerned about. Friends, this budget directly affects all of us. Who should be in charge of it? We need and deserve responsible people making responsible choices about our taxes and our state budget, not based on political ideology. How much power should one man have, especially one known to have extreme political views and a strong desire to impose them on others? Why are we putting up with this? This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
University Physical Therapy, Hillsboro's physical therapy provider for over 27 years, is opening the doors to a new clinic. Please join us on Monday, June 10th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to celebrate the opening of our new facility at 115 Oakdale Drive in Hillsboro. Facility tours, free health screenings, food, games, and door prizes will be provided. For directions and additional information, visit universitypt.org or call 732-6600. See you on the 10th.
I moved here a few years ago and discovered UNC Family Medicine. I love that the doctors are up to date on the latest medical developments. I love the easy parking. And most of all, I love that my husband and my kids also go to UNC Family Medicine. The reassurance of knowing they are available by email or by phone, plus the knowledge they are among the best family medicine departments in the country, means I have peace of mind about our health care.
Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Good morning. It is 8:52, 8 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Our landings in Cherbourg, Arve area have failed to gain a satisfactory foothold, and I have withdrawn the troops. So wrote General Dwight Eisenhower on June 5th, 1944, 69 years ago. And according to Rick Atkinson's new book, The Guns at Last Light, The War in Europe, 1944 to 1945, which is currently the number one on the New York Times nonfiction bestseller list. Light continued, if any blame or fault attaches to the attempt, it is mine alone. So, had the June 6th D-Day landing at Normandy failed, Ike was prepared to take all the blame. The Guns at Last Light follows that last year of World War II from Normandy until the war's end, a year later. Normandy to the liberation of Paris, the push to the German border, the Battle of the Bulge, and the final collapse of Hitler's Reich. Well, why do we need another account? Here's why. Like Shelby Foote's Civil War books, Atkinson is more than a chronicler of the bloody business of battles and troop movements. He gives us character studies of the war's key players. Well, not just the top leaders. For instance, while describing the enormous challenge of supplying millions of troops in Europe with weapons, ammunition, food and clothing, and things like office supplies, Atkinson introduces us to the man responsible for organizing and operating that supply chain, Lieutenant General John C.H. Lee, also known as John Courthouse Lee, Jesus Christ Himself Lee, God Almighty Lee, a fussy martinet who wore rank stars on both the front and back of his helmet. He was said to have a supply sergeant's parsimony in doling out army kit, as if it were a personal gift, rewarding friends, of whom he had few, and punishing enemies, of whom he had many. He had a knack for reasonable self-delusion, once standing in a London theater to acknowledge an ovation, in fact, intended for Eisenhower. The main character of this story is, of course, Dwight Eisenhower. And the book's main question is, what made Ike, rather than British General Bernard Montgomery or George Patton, the best person to command the Allied effort? Both these men question Eisenhower's competence as the commander. Montgomery once said, "Eisenhower is quite useless. He's completely and utterly useless." But Atkinson gives his readers hundreds of other answers, his own and those of people who worked with Ike, that show his remarkable ability to manage and coordinate thousands of generals and millions of soldiers. The answer I like best came from a junior officer who said, "There's something about the guy. The way he brushes along, the way he breaks out in a big grin, the way his voice, harsh and loud, cracks out, that disarms all within his vicinity. That's the way he is, gay, loud, democratic, dynamic, thinking fast, acting fast, spreading confidence." Well, Eisenhower and most of those who fought in World War II are now gone. But this week's D-Day anniversary and Atkinson's fine new book should remind us to give special thanks to those who are still with us. This is D.G. Martin.
Thank you, D.G. 8:56 at WCHL, 4 minutes away from 9 o'clock. You remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? Call me, tell me the word, spell it correctly, and give me the proper definition, and I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's all brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Your number to call right now, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Chris Moran, Executive Director of the IFC, is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
I wanted to congratulate you and the IFC on 50 years of service to our community. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very, very much. And because it's been a really long time, but we're the only safety net organization that's in the community trying to do some good and trying to make this community a better place.
Chris Moran says the Interfaith Council has come a long way in the last half century.
50 years ago, seven women started this organization representing various congregations that wanted our elected officials and our policymakers to look at poverty more closely and not have it be hidden as it was at that time. So the organization has evolved over the year, being sort of an advocacy arm for the community, created housing like Chase Park, Elliott Woods, what we now know as the PTA Thrift Shop. We had a clothing outlet at that time, which I wasn't really part of. And Bob Seymour became the first president and was the longest standing president, I believe, for 7 years. And this all came through congregations. Unfortunately, poverty is still alive and well.
Chris Moran has been working with the IFC in this community for 30 years.
Well, thanks. I think you've been where you are for that amount of time, isn't that true?
Well, even a little bit longer than that.
So we have a lot in common, Ron. I've been thinking about time, the whole issue of time. And when you're busy and you're involved with challenges and just trying to do good work every day, you don't think about how quickly time goes by. It doesn't seem like 30 years, even though it has been.
Chris Moran has always wanted to work hard to help others have a better life.
A long time ago, I was in a seminary studying to be a Catholic priest, and that's what I wanted to do through the Catholic Church at that time. And then I figured out that in my hometown back in Michigan, I lived in a neighborhood that had outside privies and outside water pumps, and couldn't really understand why that existed that way. When around that neighborhood, there were sanitary facilities. I just didn't get it. So I started there, and it got into my blood, and I've been doing this kind of work ever since.
Thursday night, the IFC will celebrate 50 years, and a special event taking place at the Friday Center in Chapel Hill. A lot of wonderful people in our community will be honored for their contributions. We honor the contributions of Chris Moran, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Today is your last chance at a great offer at OurLocalDeal.com from Sal's Pizza. It's half off. $16 of authentic Italian food available until midnight for $8. Sal's offers up delicious fresh Italian fare with a warm and welcoming atmosphere. According to the owner, the lasagna is made the way her mother used to make it, and the eggplant is made the way her grandmother used to make it, so you know it's the real deal. It's half off from Sal's Pizza. It's available until midnight, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
Just a slight chance of rain this afternoon. Our high temperature today about 80. A lot of sunshine. Pretty good day.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
9 o'clock.
Here is the equation. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship in Chapel Hill.